After undergoing renovations in March, Costa Mesa's jail reopened and resumed the Immigration and Customs Enforcement screening of its prisoners. The topic of our last story today is Costa Mesa. Figures released for the month of April show that the city's ICE agents detained 37 out of 98 prisoners interviewed, as former mayor and now council member Alan Mansoor said, "If there are some people who still oppose this, that just boggles my mind." Sure to boggle the mind of Mansoor and his supporters is a new book by Costa Mesa resident and UC Irvine adjunct professor of political science Humberto Caspa. It's called Terror in the Latino Barrio, The Rise of the New Right, in which he argues that Mansoor's tenure as mayor sought to oust Latinos from the city through various anti-immigrant policies. Costa Mesa gained attention as the epicenter of the national immigration debate back in December 2005, following the city council's decision to back the then-mayor's plan to train local police in immigration enforcement. Caspa's new book looks at the rise of the radical right in the city's municipal politics and how it made the political ascent of Mansoor possible in the first place. He joins me in studio this morning. Welcome to Uprising, Humberto Caspa.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So first, let's talk about what happened in 2005. This was something that we covered on Uprising. The city council approved of the plan that had a collaboration between ICE and local law enforcement, and it occurred during the heightened national tensions surrounding the Sensenbrenner bill. Why did the city you live in turn into an epicenter of the immigration debate? What is it about Costa Mesa in particular?
Well, Costa Mesa, it's an interesting city. Yeah, first of all, it's a beautiful city. It's located just right in the coast, close to Newport Beach. What happened back then, what it made Costa Mesa into the epicenter of the immigration issue is basically a different ordinances during that period of time. It was not just the deputizing the police force, which, you know, the idea of Mansoor was to deputize the whole department. It was not just units. That was amended by Councilman Monaghan. Before that, we had, the closing of the job center.
The day labor center.
Right. And also, in conjunction with the school district, they disallowed adult soccer tournaments in elementary schools. And later, they forbid and basically prohibited kicking a soccer ball in Palorino Park. And this is something really critical in, it's very embarrassing for the city to do something like that. And ordinances like that, that basically target a specific ethnic group, the Latino community.
Hmm. Now, do you see Costa Mesa as a symbol for where the right wing in this country would like to take this nation, as a place that's unwelcome for Latinos?
Well, during 2005, it was an example. It was the first city to implement a policy like that, and one of the reasons that it became so an example of a anti-immigrant city is because right before September 11, actually in the year 2000, the Costa Mesa government had decided to make an agreement, hire a firm to revitalize the West Side, which is the critical area and highly criticized by right-wing groups in the area. And that provided, I think, the fertile ground for different groups, especially right-wing groups, to develop as a result of that hiring. And when the September 11 crisis came out and basically a lot of right-wing groups became like the mainstream conservative groups in the United States. In Costa Mesa, that group had already been formed and developed and very coherently addressed issues in the city. And they started out getting people in commissions, and finally they got people in leadership in the political government. And the group was called the Citizens for the Improvement of Costa Mesa. And one of the people who is very critical in this issue of Costa Mesa is Martin H. Millard.
And he's someone that you've paid a lot of attention in your book. Not someone that the media necessarily has paid that much attention to, but why is he a central figure?
Yeah, unfortunately, the media did not pay much attention. The local media, yes, did. The Daily Pilot had an article, a very interesting article in 2001. The OC Weekly obviously talked about him a lot. and the Southern Poverty Law Center documented his egregious rhetoric against Latinos and minority groups.
Again, his name is Martin H. Millard.
Yeah,
M-I-L-L-A-R-D.
Yes, he writes for West, for really radical, white supremacy websites, and he was appointed to a city committee. He was appointed to the Redevelopment and Residential Rehabilitation Committee during the Mansour tenure. So not only appointed, but reappointed twice. So that tells you, the kind of people and individuals they actually run in this government during his tenure.
Hmm. We another figure in this, the whole controversy that you detail in your book, is a young man by the name of Koyo Tezcatlipoca of the Tonantzin Collective, one of the most recognizable faces of the resistance against Mansour and his policies, particularly in city council meetings. We had him on our program. What is your assessment of his role in the local politics of Costa Mesa, and was his position and were his actions effective in raising these issues of what the city council is trying to do?
Well, what Acosta, Koyo, actually did is bring national attention. It brought national attention. It was not, something that most Latinos or minority groups or anybody, for that sake, would be proud, how an individual will bring the media. It was not the way I think we should do it.
Why?
But you don't insult the local official, regardless, whatever they do. It just, you don't go and out there and insult and tell, a city council member. In the end, they're representatives of your community. There's some respect, but it's still what he did. It's something positive, I mm-hmm. think. In the end, he brought a lot of media attention. Something that we couldn't do it in the local level. And so there was a tension about the politics in Costa Mesa, and people thought about it and read about it, and we were able to say that this is something that it's going on for so many years.
And just remind our listeners, for those who are not familiar with Koyo's role, Koyo Tezcatlipoca was someone who he was kicked out of a city council meeting. What exactly did he do, and what exactly did he say? Why did he become a figure that the mayor and his supporters attacked?
Well, I think there's a debate right now. There's a case pending in court in Orange County. He was actually kicked out, and that was illegal. That was a violation against his constitutional...
Because he tried to speak out at the meeting.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was trying to deliver a speech, mm-hmm. something that he felt it should be said. And, and not only him, but a lot of people were interrupted by Alan Mansour, including Councilwoman Katrina Foley. And I myself, I was interrupted once because I was trying to tell the city council that why you had appointed someone who believes in social segregation. I was talking
Millard.
About Martin
mm-hmm.
H. Millard. And Mansour basically told me that you can't talk about a private issue, of a private citizen. But, he was part of the government. He was appointed in the government.
He was a public official.
Right. He was, mm-hmm. in the end, a public official. And I had all the rights to know why someone with that kind of political ideology is in the government, not only appointed once, but twice. Mm-hmm. And still today, they haven't been able to answer that. So that really tells us in the community that Mansour, and as I documented in the book, and Martin H. Millar were really part of the group, and they came out with these policies to what I call to kick the Latinos out of the community, because you can tell those policies. They're really directed to targeting the Latino community. Mm.
My guest is Humberto Caspa, author of Terror in the Latino Barrio, The Rise of the New Right in Local Government. He's an adjunct professor of political science at UC Irvine. He's also, by the way, going to be speaking June 12th at 6:30 p.m. at Libreria Martinez, which is at 1110 North Main Street in Santa Ana. And again, that's Thursday, June 12th at 6:30 p.m. He's going to be speaking about his book. Now, Humberto, you use the word terror in your title. The Rise, Terror in the Latino Barrio. That's the first word in your title. Many might say that that's a strong description for the city council's policies during the past couple of years. How do you defend the use of the word? And what has the sentiment been within the Latino community in Costa Mesa? Have they really felt terror?
Well, when the ordinance of deputizing the police force came out, I spoke with a lot of people in the community. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to deny there are some undocumented individuals in Costa Mesa. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I spoke with someone in the restaurant and close by in Costa Mesa, and on 19th Street. And someone working in there told me, you know, I'm terrorized. I can't go out of my house. I work here, and I can't ride a bicycle. I'm afraid when I see a cop, I begin to worry about what he's going to do or she's going to do to me. So I'm really terrorized by what is going on in my city. Yet, you know, I have to stay here because I work. I have a family. I have a family, kids who are American citizens. So I can't leave out of this city. Mm. So it's you know, within this terror that is creating the city mm-hmm. government among these people, that's why I decided to name my book Terror in the Latino Barrio.
Now, in 2006, the city election saw the loss of the Return to Reason coalition. You analyzed the electoral failure in your book. How did the radical right retain its power, and how did its detractors fail?
Well, I think the problem was an agreement between the so-called kind of like the moderate Republicans in Costa Mesa in the Latino community. And I think we failed. I'm, you know, the first one to acknowledge this, that both the Latinos and that group failed to make an agreement or an alliance to run together. I think the best ticket would have been Myrna Burciaga and Bruce Garlick. I don't think Myrna Burciaga, honestly, would have been elected, but I think Bruce Garlick would have been elected. And we just needed someone and one person to change the dynamics of the city council politics. So,
in terms of having a majority?
In terms of having at least a moderate in the city mm-hmm. council. Hopefully, Myrna Burciaga or anyone in Costa Mesa will run again. I think Myrna Burciaga did such a great job. She's a very talented lady. She has worked so hard in the community, but unfortunately, this was not her time. But it was important for her to be there. But I think it was just a matter of the strategy. We weren't able to create an alliance between both Latinos and the more moderate side of the Republican Party. Mm. But hopefully this year we should be able to do that.
And are there plans for that? Are there any Latino candidates running?
I haven't seen any names, but I think the Return to Reason, there's no longer Return to Reason, but the people who were behind this group hopefully will try to get serials now, the Latino vote in Costa Mesa.
So do you think that the only way to reverse these policies that have been implemented at the municipal level is to enter municipal politics?
Yes. We have to understand Costa Mesa, it was not in a spontaneous move change. You know, this group had a plan. It is a process that took more than 5 years. It started out in the late 1990s. So we have to think about that. We have to create also a process to tackle, mm-hmm. to get rid of these people. We first have to create an organization, a group, and we can do it through democratic elections. We have to, this is a special event this year, to get at least two candidates in the city council and retain one in the government.
Humberto Caspa, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Humberto Caspa is author of Terror in the Latino Barrio, The Rise of the New Right in Local Government, and he is an adjunct professor of political science at UC Irvine. He'll be at Libreria Martinez June 12th at 6:30 p.m. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, James Baldwin once said, "I imagine one of the reasons people cling to their hates so stubbornly is because they sense once hate is gone, they will be forced to deal with pain." That's James Baldwin. That's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day.